Hey guys, it's Erin here. I've just found out the boys have recorded an episode without inviting me, so good luck boys, because it's not going to be as funny as the ones that I'm in. Happy listening, guys.
Hey, you're listening to My Millennial Money. It's the podcast for people who are still on their parents' Medicare card, just like me.
Got a bit of a bonus edition here. How are you going, John?
Very well, Glenn. How are you?
Mate, not too bad. Erin isn't with us today. And in fact, there was a little bit of a miscommunication. And also, we didn't actually tell her about this.
No. We've told her now.
But we've told her now. Yeah. Hi, Erin. I did check your phone, Erin. There's a missed call from you. But ultimately, in the episode that we just put up before this, we did get into private health insurance, and it appeared that John and I had a bit of a different, philosophy or view on private health insurance. So we actually spent a bit of time talking about this after the episode, and we thought we need to swing back around and just have a bit more of a deep dive into private health insurance, particularly for those under 30 years old.
Yeah, and I suppose for the listeners out there, they want differing opinions and points of view, and there's always more than one way to skin a cat, I suppose.
Well, there's my way, and then there's other ways.
Yeah, so there's the wrong way, and then there's everyone else's way.
That's right. Yeah. So, and a lot of people might not realise that one of the reasons that I wanted to do a podcast with John and Erin is because we do have the same, I guess, values and philosophy to a point about life and money habits and goals, you know, in principle at a macro level. But we've actually got different opinions when we drill down into the, I guess, maybe the advice that we give or the way that we teach. And that's so good for learning, because I want you to really learn. If you learn, I guess, the philosophy and the concept of anything that we're talking about, the details, we want to empower you to work out the details. Is that a fair comment, John?
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of it's based on our own life experiences and failures and successes and all those sort of things that sort of gauge that thinking going forward. So there's, as we said, there's no right or wrong.
It's that's right. Yeah. And again, like when I do my any of my coaching, I tell people, like, this isn't the way. It is just a way, and you need to find a way that works for you. And I've got so much confidence in sending any of my clients to John to coach or whatnot in relation to property. But it's, you know, it's slightly different, and that's cool. But I guess at the end of the day, we're both going to end up at the same destination.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, what road are we taking?
You just got to take a road, don't you?
You've just got to get moving. So if I just wanted to just position that. And then the cool thing as well, John and I are in finance, you know, every day. And the reason why we do love Erin on the show is because she's not in finance, but she's not a dummy either.
No.
So it's really
smarter than you and I put together, probably.
Basically,
yeah. But I think just on that point of finance and property and what you do and what you don't do sort of thing, I think in the past, a lot of financial planners, and hello to you all listening out there.
There are a few that listen to this.
see us property investors or/slash coaches as the opposition.
The enemy, yeah.
So we're actually quite the opposite, in that we sense that there's a role to play for both of us in what we do for the client.
Because a lot of clients say to me, when I talk about my own investment properties, or, you know, I think you just need to be investing, whether it's property, share. Hey, do both. I mean, really, just spend less than what you earn, invest the rest.
Yeah.
And how that pans out. So, yeah, so I guess it's probably good that we touched, swung back around to actually tell people a little bit about why I put the show together and why it's so important to have three people with a microphone. One, just talking trash for hopefully less than 30% of the time now. And two, with three different points of views. And it's a miracle. It is a Christmas miracle when we agree on stuff, isn't it?
It is. It is. So, and having that female touch is imperative.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yep. I love it.
Yep.
So, and again, just as a bit of an update, we do take your feedback on board. We are trying to get to the crux a little bit more, but it's funny because we all just like it chatting to each other. So sometimes we get carried away, but we are, just hang with us. There's some episodes coming up that have been recorded just a couple of weeks ago, because I'm about to take off to the United States for a few weeks, so I won't be around. So they're still going to... We're publishing episodes, but please just bear with us. And if you've got any good constructive feedback, we do listen, because this isn't like just a podcast where we are just putting stuff out there. Mm. Like, we actually are connecting with our listeners, and I hope we always have time to... read any questions, comments, and reply personally. So
ever evolving, and we're not going anywhere.
So yeah, thank you for being with us on that. So, private health insurance.
Yes.
I was thinking, John, do you want to start what we both agree on with private health insurance?
Yes.
And if you didn't listen to last episode, and I believe it was 115, I think, episode 115, we talked about the financial... I guess, hardline financial facts. Mm. So, if you are earning over 90 grand a year as a single and you do not have private health insurance, you pay extra tax, and it's called the Medicare levy surcharge. So, we can both agree, I think, that whatever age you are, if you are earning over $90,000,
yes,
it's wise to have private health insurance.
100%. So, yep. No, we agree on that. Definitely.
We agree on that.
If you're earning, I suppose if you're age 30 and above, I think you need private health insurance, number one.
Yeah, that's kind of the second point that I was going to. Mm. We both agree that after age 30, you get the lifetime health loading put on your private health insurance. So, we both agree that if you're over 30 at any income level, you need private health insurance.
Yep.
And if you're at any age... earning over $90,000 a year as a single person, you need private health insurance.
And well done if you're earning $90,000 before you reach 30 as well.
That would be amazing, wouldn't it?
Mm, it's a good outcome.
Yeah,
great. Hopefully they're saving a lot of it as well.
Totally. So, John, congratulations. We've agreed on two things in relation to private health. So,
thanks for tuning in, guys.
Yeah, we'll be here all week. So, let's now dig in. So, where... And again, like, there's the fork in the road where either direction that we take, it's not right or wrong. There's just two options. And we want to discuss this fork in the road, which is from age, whatever, as an adult or as a young adult, if you're not on your parents' private health fund.
Mm.
And some health funds will allow children that are at university to be on the parents' private health fund until they're 25, 24, I think it can vary between health funds.
Yeah.
So, we deviate for those who are under 30 who are not earning over 90 grand.
Mm.
I'm personally, and again, I'm probably more conservative than John. I believe if you are working full-time and you are under 30, you should factor in the cost of private health insurance into your budget. And John believes... basically, don't worry until you're over 30. Is that a thing?
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously exceptions, but
totally.
And I pre-framing that, I think a lot of my belief came from myself growing up, like came from a.
But that's anything, isn't it?
Well, it is, yeah, and you are shaped that way by your parents and the people you're surrounded by, which is another topic on its own.
Yeah.
I suppose I veered off from the path that they had us on from the point of view of, well, they didn't have private health insurance, middle class, hardworking family, maybe didn't have the funds to invest in private health insurance when they probably knew the benefits of it. So, of course, when I turned 21, I didn't do it either, but I definitely surrounded myself with the people that knew how important it was, and then I logically did the sums myself and said, well, okay, if I'm earning X amount and what are the things that can happen in my life up until age 30, how about I put away that amount, and if something does happen, I've got those funds there to use. Now, some would look at that as a reckless approach to it where you're not covered, but you've still got the funds.
So, can I jump in and ask a question there? So, you're putting away... So, you actually put away money and self-insured?
Correct.
Yeah. So, what were you putting money away for? If you had an accident and you had to be in hospital for 2 weeks, or if you wanted to go to the optometrist? and get glasses.
Yeah, so to begin with, I was playing a lot of AFL.
You know my whole aim in this is to zing you, right?
Yeah, I know, yeah. There's no winner or loser out of this conversation, Glenn.
There's just outcomes.
So to begin with, again, pre-framing, I was playing a lot of AFL football and highly contact sport. We were actually insured by our club to play that.
Sure.
So that part of it was covered. Knee reconstruction, yep. All done. Perfect. So that's where circumstances always vary.
Totally.
Yeah.
And we've been given a brain to use.
That's right. Yeah. So we use it. But essentially outside of that, I said, well, okay, if it's going to cost me $5,000 a year for private health insurance, that's how much goes away each month or divided by 12 each month.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
End of story.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess I come from a family that didn't have private health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
However, my background in terms of my medical experiences were a little bit different. Like okay. I've got friends who were my age, 30, I know, what am I, 27? Yeah. No. 30. I'm 34 plus 10. Now. Yeah, basically. I've got friends my age who have never been to hospital, can't remember the last time they went to the doctors, blah, blah, blah. I had my first ankle operation at age 16.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
And it was never the same, and I knew that there was further surgery.
Yeah.
So for me, I got private health insurance because I knew my medical, I guess, vibe or whatever you want to say, situation was not typical.
Yeah. And that, to me, that's common sense. And if I was in that same position, I probably would have done the same thing as you. Yeah.
And then one step further, I think we can also both agree that we are fortunate enough to live in Australia.
And absolutely.
If you've got a problem with, you know, the government not providing services, you know, have an emergency, go to the hospital, see how grateful you are, and then pretend you're in Bali or somewhere in a third world.
Absolutely.
And then, like, so let's all just get the picket fence down.
For sure.
The picket line, whatever the, protest. Yeah. Yep. So one, we are in a country that, and I've got a lot of clients that are doctors and a lot of friends that are doctors, right? So they often, like, people will whinge to them in the hospital and say, oh, this, and they're like, do you realize this is free?
Yeah, like, that's right.
So we can...
Yeah, I mean, to add to that, I think most people's default position is to come up with a problem in life, right?
Totally.
So we need to change our mindset around that. If they're whinging about what's happening in the hospital, they're probably whinging about the colour of their dog as well.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So we can both agree that if there is an emergency in Australia or if you are sick, you will get looked after.
Yep.
However, and where I deviated, I guess, from was I knew that my first ankle surgery, it was in the public system, but it was severe enough not to have to wait the 18 months.
Yeah. Okay.
So if you see your specialist and they go, look, this is serious, or it's, you know, causing issues. Like it was to the stage where I could walk across a sleep in a street and it would slip out and, you know.
Yeah. Your ankle or your shoe?
Both.
Yeah.
So if the doctor believes that it is serious enough, they'll push you through to the wait, to the front of the queue. Now, weirdly, when I was in the hospital, rocked up there, public system, laying or in the waiting room. There was a lady there. She'd been on the waiting list for 12 months for a non-life-threatening issue. It was the third time she had been to the hospital. The two other times they sent her home because an emergency happened and they couldn't fit her in.
It's not an emergency. Yeah.
That's right. So for me, I wanted control in my life. So if I had to get surgery, and I've had my nose... you know, the septoplasty where they cleared the nose out. Like last month, or I had to get the camera down my throat because I had some issues there. So
you can smell now.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, well.
So I've taken the view, and this was even before I was age 30 and before I was earning over 90K, like that I wanted to pay that grand a year or whatever the cost was.
Yep.
Just so if I booked in somewhere, I could do it on my terms.
Yeah.
And the surgeon that I saw and sat with in his consulting room, he was the one that was operating on me.
Yeah, the best of the best. So, I mean, you probably can't answer this wholeheartedly, but if you didn't have the ankle issue at an early age, would your thought processes have changed around having private health insurance given the fact that your parents didn't?
Yes.
Yeah. So now you're coming over to my side for just a little moment to say, well, maybe I wouldn't have.
Oh, no, no, sorry, sorry, sorry. No, I don't think that would have changed, sorry.
Right.
Yeah, sorry, sorry, sorry. I was just loading something up on the screen. Right. I wasn't paying attention to you as usual. No, the only reason, again, circumstances are different.
Mm.
I started my business when I was 25 years old.
Mm.
And it came back to that control.
Yeah.
If I had to get more surgery or if I did have something out of the blue, I needed to book something in. Because remember, I've got a friend. Hey, if you're listening, and you probably don't listen to my podcast because you're slack. He recently had a disc replacement.
Yep.
Okay. He was in pain every single day.
Mm.
It was not life-threatening and it wasn't urgent.
Yeah.
He had to go on
waiting list.
The waiting list.
Yeah.
Now, he ended up paying out of pocket and paying.
To fast track.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it cost $30,000.
Yeah.
So I guess what we're saying is if you're under 30 and you're not earning over 90K, and you feel that you've got a job with sick leave or you feel you are in general well health, you may take the risk and not worry about private health insurance.
Yeah, which is really the track that I went down.
Yeah.
And you mentioned health there. I think if you're not cleaning your teeth and not exercising and not eating right and doing all those things that are unhealthy, then yes, you're setting yourself up for some sort of problem down the track anyway, aren't you?
Yeah, and I will say that actually reminds me, I think the biggest fallacy out there is people get the private health insurance. Oh, I need private health insurance so I don't have to pay for the dentist. I need private health insurance so I get dollars off my physio or massage or optics.
Mm.
I say, no, that's just a side benefit.
Yeah.
You pay for private health insurance for if something goes wrong and you need to be in hospital, you're looked after privately.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that a fair comment?
Yeah, no, it is. And I think it's what we're discovering is it's very circumstantial. So if someone's under 30 and actually married and has a child, then absolute no-brainer, they need private health insurance because now it's not just them to worry about, but they've got.
So I think and maybe you've swung me over a little bit. Mm. Like I would never give you. I wouldn't ever give you that credit. If I was in good health under 30 and still earning under 90 grand, like I did a quote just before, age 23, I just did single male because I'm a male, $90 a month.
Yeah.
I mean, if you downloaded my spending plan and go to mymillennialmoney.com, do a spending plan and a budget, even if you're earning 45, 50 grand a year, it's still affordable.
Yeah.
Factor it into your budget, get on with your life.
Mm.
But I guess if I'm in my financial planning land, if you are under 30, not earning over 90K and you feel like you want to take the risk, knock yourself out.
Like anything,
and I'm just saying, me personally,
I
would still do it, but that's just me and my risk profile.
Exactly, and that's where what we're talking about is our risk profiles are slightly different. You would agree with that at the beginning. Essentially, your incomes are going to be different depending on what trade you're in. Did you study? Did you come straight out of school and get straight into the workforce? What's your savings plans like?
Totally.
But essentially,
Actually,
understanding the pros and cons is probably the critical bit.
So, would you agree? Just because I think, we are ending up the same destination that if you are over 30, you've got to have it.
Mm.
And if you are over earning over 90 grand, you've got to get it.
Yep.
So, our line there kind of deviates because circumstances are different for everyone.
Yep.
Would you say if you're under 30, not earning 90K, but were self-employed? Do you think there's value there just for that control? If you did snap your ankle or something weird happened, you can, or even non-elective, like I hurt my shoulder at squash. It was sore for like 6 months. I may have had to have surgery.
Yeah.
Who knows? Just for that control factor so you can book it in and book your life around that.
Definitely. Yeah. No, look, if you are self-employed, there's definitely a tick towards getting it more than not because of that. while you're not there, your business doesn't run, basically.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for sure.
Can you agree on one thing? So, private health insurance aside, do you think if you are working full-time hours and you've got an income, that you should have income protection insurance?
No, I don't agree.
Piss off.
Under 30?
No, no, any age.
Oh, right, any age. Okay. So in general, the answer is yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, there are exceptions as to why or why not you might choose not to have it.
Why is that?
Again, your work conditions are sometimes pretty attractive, depending on what industry you're in,
sure.
to the point where, okay, how long am I? What type of industry am I in? Is a big demand for what I do. If I'm, what's the chance of me being out of work for more than 90 days?
I'm talking just accident and illness only.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. So not like any of that redundancy crap.
Sure.
Yeah. And I don't ever recommend redundancy insurance or any of that rubbish on TV.
Mm.
I'm talking about income protection as in accident or illness only.
Mm.
You're covered for accident or illness 24/7 worldwide, full income replacement to age 65.
Yes. Yep. Factor it in.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that is tax deductible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
just to clarify, the government doesn't give you real incentives to get it before you're 30.
Income protection?
Well.
Or private health.
Private
insurance.
Health.
No, they don't.
No.
Well, they, no, they.
Not really.
Not well, they do at age 29 because when you turn 30, you've got to pay the loading on the policy.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So, yeah. But I guess it's all numbers. Like most, the overwhelming majority of people under 30 are fit and healthy. Are they?
Should be. I don't think they are.
No,
that's the issue with the Australian public at the moment, I think.
I was on a comparison website. And sorry if you get a phone call. I just put in a random phone number. And if your email address is teddy@gmail.com, you might get an email. So you use your private health insurers because your background is teaching and education.
Yeah.
You're with Teachers Health.
Yes.
I mean, I'm looking at the comparisons here.
Mm.
Like, there's three companies up on the screen. Let's just move this crap and have a look. You know, three different companies.
Mm.
They're basically all the same price.
Yeah. Inclusions and excesses are similar, aren't they?
Yeah. Like, so I've resolved that private health, it's basically the same price within a couple of dollars a month.
Yeah.
And the cool thing about, well, I'm with Bupa, and I'm not saying run out and get Bupa, but the one cool thing is in my spending plan, I pay everything yearly if you get a discount. But with Bupa, they're private health insurance, and I'm not sure if this is with other, let's just have a look. I'm just changing it to yearly. Bupa do not charge you more to pay monthly.
A lot of them don't now, do they?
No. So I just pay monthly because it goes back to a cash flow. You know?
Yeah. And I think a lot of insurance, like I find with some home insurance for some of the investment properties, they don't either. So absolutely, you go monthly every day.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm.
So
the good thing about Teachers Health, without promoting that, is a pair of sunglasses every year.
Really?
Yeah. So we
do they send up. Like the admin team at Teachers Health head office down to the chemist or something and get the
You go into their office,
right.
And my closest is Newcastle, and choose from the range. Mm.
I mean, it's like I've got private health not for the ancillary benefits, but I use them. I mean,
to feel good, isn't it?
Well, it's like I go to the dentist twice a year.
Mm.
So, well, I go to the hygienist twice a year for a clean.
Yep.
And one of those visits, I actually see the dentist for a checkup.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a couple hundred dollars, like it's nothing.
Mm.
But if it's factored into your, like.
Well, it's all relative, isn't it? When you say a couple hundred dollars is nothing. Someone on 40 grand a year, totally different story, isn't it?
Sorry, John.
For
Okay.
You know, you're sitting at 34 years old, having run a business for 10 years.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey guys, how are you?
So, for the 25-year-old sitting out there on 40 grand a year,
yeah,
$100 a month or a $200 bill at the dentist is a big deal.
But I would still say, do my spending plan, factor in all the costs, and you'll actually find that most of this crap is affordable.
Yeah.
It's actually affordable.
Yeah.
But again, so we could probably wrap that up there. Mm. Can we both agree? Mm. We'll both agree. If you're under 30 and you're in decent health, you're an employee, and you don't want to get public private health insurance, whatever.
Mm.
If you're working full-time, any age, any income, you should consider income protection insurance.
Yep.
Because that one's tax deductible.
Yeah.
And I mean, wherever you are in Australia, if you do want to look at that, just get in contact on mymillennialmoney.com. Mm. I'll refer you to somebody to actually look after you.
Have a look at it. Yep. Yeah.
I can't speak because the products are pretty different, but they're probably pretty much the same. Like, jump onto a comparison website. You know, it's kind of like picking a flight. What I do, you might go to like Webjet or Flight Center, look at the flights, and then I just go direct to the company to book.
Yeah, same.
So maybe just look at like the couple of the big insurers out there, HCF, Australian Unity, Bupa, AHM or Medibank. I mean, NIB. So I reckon your teacher's one, it's probably a badged product. Because I used to be with NRMA Health Insurance.
Right.
But HCF purchased them and then HCF and Bupa merged.
Okay. Yeah, look, one of the big boys would probably own it.
Yeah. Mm. So, again, like we are legitimately looking at this online stuff.
Yeah.
And if you want it, remember with the excess, because I apparently go to hospital every 10 minutes, I've got a calendar year excess of $250. I mean, most of them will come with an excess of $500 per calendar year.
Mm.
Knock yourself out. Knock the excess up to $800.
Yeah.
Have your emergency fund as part of your spending plan.
Yeah.
And again, do you find like in anything we do with clients, the baseline is having that cash flow and spending plan sorted?
It's your first and foremost, isn't it? You can't make any decisions. You can't set any goals until that's ticked off.
Yeah, because you need to know how much it costs you to exist.
Yeah, that's right.
And have a bit of an emergency buffer. Mm.
The disclaimer there is if you've got any pre-existings before taking out cover.
Yes, that's right. However, my ankle was screwed before I joined the health fund.
Yeah.
I just couldn't. I had to wait 12 months, not the 3 months.
Yeah, there's a few restrictions around it.
Again, just do your research. But definitely, if you're earning over 90 grand, get it. If you're over 30, get it. If you're under 30 and not on your parents' private health, do whatever you want. You've got a brain.
You have. And I mean, generally, look, we insure our car. We insure our house or our contents at least. But a lot don't insure their most valuable asset, was basically themselves. And I, again, call it ignorance or whatever, but early days I thought, well, I'm going to insure myself by being the fittest and healthiest person I can be.
Mm.
And that will, I suppose, wane off 90% of all issues out there.
Yeah.
Illnesses, an accident is probably the only
one. Yeah. And I would say if you are working full-time, and you do not have if you do not have income protection insurance, and you insure your car comprehensively, you need to uninsure your car because your logic needs to be the same.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's all about insurance. Is essentially what insurance is you're offloading the risk, the financial risk in your life, to another organization or a pool of insurance, and everyone puts money into the pool, and when members of the pool need it, the money comes out.
Oh, there they go. Yep.
Yep. All right, Johnny boy.
That's good.
So, thanks for that. Was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, no.
So, we're not actually that.
You gradually came around to what we were saying.
Yeah, I guess.
Because for all the listeners out there, if you haven't noticed, Glenn is never wrong.
I'm so John, wrong. So John,
and, John and Aaron simply puts up points of views and they get shut down. So I'm glad we took that on board today. And
For the record, I take John's advice all the time. Like, remember that other, like, we had a, like, John's, I guess, my personal money coach, and I have John at my, with my business coach and myself, and we have 3-month catch-ups. Remember the other day I was going to do something and you both looked at me and shook your head and I'm like, okay, you're right.
That's good, but you've done 2 other things since, apparently.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, that was like a full episode, 30 minutes.
Yeah, hopefully there's some value there for everyone. Yeah.
All right, John. All right. Real.
Thank you. Pleasure.
All right. See you guys.
Have fun.
Any advice in this podcast is of a general nature only and has not been tailored to your personal circumstances. Please seek personal advice prior to acting on this information. Before making a decision to acquire a financial product, you should obtain and read the product disclosure statement relating to that product. Opinions constitute our judgment at the time of issue and are subject to change. Neither the licensee, any of the National Australia Group of Companies, nor their employees or directors give any warranty of accuracy, nor accept any responsibility for errors or omissions in this podcast. Glenn James, Urban Ghetto Proprietary Limited, trading as Sort Your Money Out, are authorized representatives of Apogee Financial Planning Limited, AFSL 230689.